Hello, everyone. Welcome to the eTech Leadership Table. This is a podcast where we invite you to pull up a chair, grab a cup of coffee, and join us as we tackle some remarkable discussions on everything leadership. I'm Melissa Wood. I'm your host. I'm the Dean of Leadership Development at eTech Global Services. Hello, podcasters, and welcome to today's episode of eTech's Leadership Table. I hope you guys have your favorite drink and maybe a snack or two and pull up and look at these two M&Ms, Melissa and Matthew. Matthew just showed me his jug of empty jug of M&Ms before you guys pulled up to the table. So if you've got some extra M&Ms, will you pull up to the table with those? Because Matthew and I want to try them. There's one in particular we want to try, we talked about, and this is the peanut butter and jelly M&M. So shoot eTech a note if you've tried the peanut butter and jelly M&M, and give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down if you like those M&Ms. Now, be sure to give us a thumbs up that you like us on this podcast. So we're really excited to have Matthew at the table today. Matthew, welcome to the eTech Leadership Table again.
Thank you so much. I am excited to be back.
I know my friend Manu got to spend time with you at the table, and I couldn't join that day, and I was so jealous, and I said, can Matthew please come back so I can spend some time with him?
Absolutely. I love talking to Manu, and don't tell him I said this, but I'm sure talking to you will be even better.
Oh, look, Manu, shh, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Well, I'm so excited to have you. I just want to kind of let everybody know that's pulling up to the table with us today. We have a pretty casual conversation. You and Manu really talked all things tech, but I want to pull that other side of you that I know that you love, and that's the learning and development side out of you. I know that, and we'll kind of marry those two together, the AI technology with learning and development, and I just want to see how your eyes light up. Look, they're already lighting up before you ask the question. So there are many people, you can kind of see them pulling up to the table, but they are pulling up because they too love AI. Or they love to hate AI. Maybe there's some of those.
One of the two, yep.
And then they, you know, maybe they're in the field of learning and development, want to get in the field of learning and development, or are a leader that wants to know more about how they can become better leaders through the use of AI and technology. So I want to talk to you about all those things. And I know everyone is taking notes because great leaders take notes. All right. So I want to talk to you about, as we're getting ready to talk about our AI, and I know people want to know a little bit about you to know about your expertise and why you're able to talk about this topic. You've got over 20 years experience. You can sing karaoke. That's the top thing.
Mandatory skill.
That you've got some creativity in your background. I wanted to pull that out and show that you have some creativity in your background, which is much needed when we talk about the learning and development environment and the use of technology. The other thing, you said you're a sports fan, and University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and those would be, I wrote it down, and they are the Tar Heels.
You got it. My Tar Heels. Absolutely. Okay. I am a very proud graduate of the university. You can see some of the paraphernalia behind me. If you had a wider view, you would see that I've got about a 10-foot wall that is nothing but Carolina gear, signs, and all the good stuff.
Okay. Now make sure, I'm sure I'm the only person at this table. You know, Matthew, we were talking about bull riding and cowboys before everybody got on there. That's for another episode. So I know we've got some fans here on the University of North Carolina. Is this where Bill Belichick's at?
It is. Yes. And so as we are recording this podcast, we are two games into his tenure at North Carolina. Thankfully, we won the second one that we're not talking about, the first one. It is very, very exciting to have, you know, arguably the greatest pro coach of all time come in and see what he can do on the college level. So it's very cool for us as Tar Heel fans.
You've got to be an athletic mind. You've got to kind of be a little creative mind, and you've got to be a little out there to be in a call center for over 20 years. I fall in all those categories. I fall in all those categories. And I know there's many of our podcasters that do the same. My heart as well is in learning and development. So let me ask you a few questions about when we talk about the use of AI in learning and development. Okay.
Of course. Absolutely.
I really want to learn some things from you today. And I know that you've got a wealth of what I'm trying to show is the creativity side of Matthew and the knowledge side of Matthew. But AI, you and Manu talked about it on your last podcast about the tech side of it. But AI is really reshaping the way we design our learning experiences. I remember when you used to have to, you know, get your flip charts and draw things out. And then you would get facilitator guides and PowerPoints, you know,
all of it.
And all that stuff. And it's really reshaped how we use learning and development. So how is AI now transforming this world in development?
It's such a great question. And, you know, if we think back even 5 years ago, the world changed for all of us when the COVID pandemic began back in 2020. And so many of us moved into remote environments. And depending on the organizations we're in, many of us still are. You know, you and I, obviously, we're recording this from hours away from each other in different states and things like that. And so AI has become more and more prevalent in everything that we do. And as I'm sure as we talk today, we'll talk about all the different angles. But when I think about AI in the learning and development space, there's really two key directions that I think about. And that is both the experience from the learning and development team perspective and those of us that are creating the materials, but also from the learner experience and the learners that are going to be absorbing the materials. So really, as we go through our conversation today, you know, we can talk about the ways that we leverage AI to enhance our curriculum creation process, to create efficiencies, to build more, cooler, greater, better things even more rapidly than we ever have. But then also for the learners, how are they absorbing it? What is the frequency? How easy is it for them to access information? And I know as a learning and development professional myself, so much of the time we think about new hires, right? Get them in the door, especially into a contact center, get them prepared for the role. But then we kind of forget about the second half of the journey, which is once they're in the role, giving them these opportunities to be educated on the job while they're going. And this is where we can use AI in a number of different ways to be able to really help uplift all of our team members so that they can be the best versions of themselves.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I hear I've been in learning development for many years as well. And I would say we have to focus on our new team, our now team, and our wow team of the future.
I love that.
So now when you're talking about learning and development, are you mostly talking about the use of technology when it comes to creating learning and development for like an agent level? Or are you talking about learning and development like at leadership level? Not client-specific training. I'm talking about maybe leadership development skills, time management, and those types of things. Which one are you more comfortable with?
Yes, is really the answer. It's all of the above. Okay. And in fact, you mentioned, you know, not necessarily client. We're using it with clients as well. We're using it all three levels because all of them are so important within the contact center environment. So we don't want to just hone in and focus on one audience and leave the others out. We want to make sure that we're looking at all of them. And sometimes the tools that we use can benefit multiple audiences at once, or sometimes you focus on one audience at a time. But I think we don't want to forget anyone that's involved in the process, because that will give us the best opportunity to really create that well-rounded client experience.
Okay, well, good deal. So, well, there's a lot of technology and a lot of ways that people can, technology is evolving rapidly, just like you were mentioning. What future-ready skills should contact center agents be developing today? What does Matthew say?
Absolutely. Matthew says that there's really two different areas that I look at for our agents. So the first is, what can't AI do, right? So let's start there. So when you think about AI, AI can automate a lot of our processes. It can help out clients that might be contacting a contact center to quickly resolve problems and things like that. But we are not at a place, and we may never be, that AI can replicate the human experience, right? So think about when you interact with an organization, what is it that you remember about those really positive interactions? It's probably not that an agent resolved an issue in 4 minutes instead of 4.5 minutes. You're going to think about the empathy. You're going to think about the critical thinking, the active listening, building that relationship. You know, you and I today, we met each other for full transparency for the first time ever 25 minutes ago, and we immediately hit it off because we were able to connect on a personal level. That is not something that right now technology is going to replicate. And as humans, when we are calling into a contact center to get an issue resolved, we want to be able to have that level of interaction. So certainly as a contact center agent, those soft skills, enhancing the customer interaction, making them feel valued and special, while also resolving their needs, is incredibly important. But the other thing that I think is so important is teaching contact center agents to leverage AI. And you and I talked a little bit about this before we went on air, but there are really two kinds of people in the world: those that embrace AI and run to it, and those that are terrified and run away from it. We have some folks that are in the middle, but most of the people I interact with, they're at one end of the spectrum or the other. If you're a contact center agent and you can embrace learning about AI and the way that it can enhance your job and the way that it can make you more effective and efficient in doing the work that you need to do for your organization, it just makes you the best version of yourself. It makes your job easier, which, whether we like to say it out loud or not, all of us want our jobs to be easier, not harder. But it also allows you to focus on the value-added activities and some of the critical thinking that we want our contact center teams to do that maybe exceed the capabilities of where AI is at right now. And I know in the contact center agents that I work with, they want to feel like they are productive and that they are valued and that they are not just, you know, taking call after call and moving it along, but they're actually helping people. And that's really where contact center agents can understand AI and understand what AI can't do and leverage both.
Matthew, that's the peanut butter and jelly. That's the peanut butter and jelly right there.
It is. You got to have them both, right? One's not complete without the other.
Yeah, you gave these two areas I think are phenomenal. And that's the full meal deal right there. That's the peanut butter and jelly. So I love that. And I see that so many times that maybe we're focusing on the technical side, but we really need to use that AI technology for these soft skills, for that experience.
Absolutely.
And I love that kind Matthew way of pushing, people out there. Cause you know, the question is, what do you need to be working on? Well, one of those, areas in your soft skills, but, and back in our, you know, when we first started, they didn't call them soft skills. They called them critical skills.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I hope the world goes back to that language, because that is, like you said, it's not about the call being from 4 minutes and 30 seconds to 4 minutes. It's the experience that you have. And
absolutely,
you mentioned about running with AI or running away from AI. And our team's doing a training called AI from foe to friend, not friend to foe, but foe to friend.
And I love that.
There are ways you can turn people into your friend, and I think AI can be used in the same way. Well, you're rocking and rolling. I see now why E-Tech loves you sitting at the table. I already love you at the table. So how can leaders, let's look at leadership right now, because I know when I talk about leadership with you, I see a little glimmer in your face, and we have that same smile, and there's many people sitting at the table with us that are leaders. And John Maxwell says, if you are leading, right, and you turn around and no one's following you, you're just taking a walk.
Absolutely.
So you have to be sure that people are following you. But how can leaders use AI to improve employee engagement and support the well-being that you just talked about, the employee well-being? How can leaders use AI?
Without a doubt. And let's start with something that seems very basic, but it is a challenge for many of us. And that is, don't be afraid to try and explore what the AI world looks like. There are so many different opportunities that are out there. It can definitely be overwhelming. And you don't want paralysis by analysis, right? Find a direction to start and really get out there and see what kinds of systems are out there. Talk to peers and coworkers and join industry organizations and just start to understand what are some of the trends and things like that. And so, you know, once you start to dive in, there are so many different directions that you can take. But when you think about employee engagement and things of that nature, you know, start with the basics. Many of us are used to organizations that do pulse surveys or sentiment analysis. This is something that has been part of the world that we are in contact centers for probably well beyond when you and I started in the workforce, Melissa. But now there are ways to leverage AI to do trend analysis and to identify what are some optimal questions that you can ask to really be able to understand what your team members are doing. And even more than that, when you think about many of the surveys that we roll out, typically you'll have your handful of multiple choice questions, like on a scale of 1 to 5, how do you feel about this? But then there are also the open-ended questions. What feedback do you have? What are we doing well as a company? What could we do better as a company? Depending on the size of your team, if you're rolling that out to hundreds, if not thousands, of team members, to sit down and try to read through all of that information can be very difficult. there are so many tools out there, something like ChatGPT, if it's approved by your organization, or the company I'm with right now, we're a Microsoft house. We use Microsoft Copilot. I did this for our last survey. You can actually take all of those hundreds and comments, literally just copy them in to one of these AI-based tools, give it a sensible prompt, something like, please take all of these sentiments and aggregate them into the top 10 topics that our employees are expressing, and it will pop it out for you in a way that you can actually take meaningful direction in helping your team get better and helping your employees get better and really expanding, you know, the capabilities of your organization. So that's just one of the first things that come to mind when I hear about employee engagement.
Oh, that is. You're giving away all your secrets here, Matthew. So,
but you know what? Most of my secrets are things that I have borrowed from other people. And that's the key to it, right? You don't necessarily need to be an inventor. Listen to what's happening in the world around you and adopt some of those best practices. That is the entire foundation of my career. I am not a visionary. I shamelessly replicate the great work of other people.
Well, you know, in AI, it just opens up a whole new world for people like you and I that you think about, even like you said, those open area comments on those, any questions you're asking, any sentiment or surveys. We recently had a 500 word character limit. And then one of our executives said, open it up to 5,000. We've got AI. We can look at, we can take every word they say. They can write a thesis if they want to. And I thought, you know, that's really powerful, because before, the use of resources to go through all those sentiments was exhausting. And by the time you got the information out, people had forgotten they took the survey, right? And
absolutely.
And now you can do it at your fingertips. And it'll do pie charts for you, bar charts for you. It'll do anything you want it to do. So for all those leaders that are sitting at the table now, Matthew's just really giving you a good way with these surveys. And you do not have to be a tech wizard to do these things. Not at all. And you, I guess the three letter word I would say is T-R-Y. Try. Just try something out. Like, I have not tried the peanut butter and jelly M&M, and I'm going to try. I'm going to try. So
absolutely. If you love it, you're excited. And if you don't, you don't. But I am with you. I am not a computer programmer. I've never claimed to be. I am savvy enough that I know how to use some of the foundational systems that my company uses. And then I ask questions and I learn and I find the people in my organization that are much more intelligent than I am. And I ask them, how did you do that? And then I'm like, okay, that's great. But now talk to me like I'm an elementary school student.
Yeah.
And then they explain it on my level. I'm like, oh, okay, I can actually do that.
And to watch how people use it, like just get around people that are using it and you'll see how they're using it so differently. I mean,
absolutely.
In their personal lives. Like the other day, I was wanting to buy a rug for the living room. You guys know now you can, like, it says, see it in your room. I could see that rug on my wall if I wanted to hang it on my wall. You know, you can just hold the camera up, and then technology can do so many great things. All right,
pushing through.
I have a couple more questions.
Yes, you got it. Go for it.
I know you've got places to be, and so I just want to ask you a couple other questions. What are some of the best practices to ensure AI tools empower rather than overwhelm contact center teams?
Absolutely. I am a huge fan of communication and change management. And for anyone that caught the conversation I had with Manu earlier this year, this was something that we really focused some time on. I think the change management and managing that curve is incredibly important. AI at its core is not overly complex or difficult, but it can be overwhelming if you're not familiar with it. So when you think about a contact center environment, early adopters and having advocates for what you're trying to do is extremely important. You want that at both the leadership level and at the agent level and with the frontline. I think as leaders, we are expected sometimes to be able to explore and adopt these tools. And while it's not always easy for us, because of the expectation, we sometimes force ourselves to be a little bit more uncomfortable. When you think about the frontline a little bit more, they aren't always as willing. It really depends on the individual, right. But it's highly unlikely that you have a team of folks that are all scared of AI. You're always going to have those team members that want to try the newest thing, the coolest thing. They want to build their career. So bring them into your tech adoption decisions. Yeah. As you're looking at what tools do we want or what tools do we already have and how can we use it, bring them into the conversation. I know for me, I make it a point of making sure that I surround myself with a team that is great, wonderful, passionate individuals. Because they are my frontline, they are closer to the action than I will ever be. So I want to rely on them. They know the trends. They know where they can get the help much sooner than I can provide it to them. Let them be the voice of reason. Let them help. Let them be part of the rollout process, because not only will it allow the actual initiative to be more successful, but then maybe any of those folks that are a little bit more skeptical, those at the peer level can help bring them along the journey. Go ahead.
No, what wisdom. There's so many companies I know that are out there in the media now that could have used that advice, Matthew, about listening to your front line and what your customers need.
Absolutely. So having the front line be part of the process is so important. And then the next part, and this is, you know, in my heart as a learning and development professional, but we forget about it sometimes, just provide clear training and communication. You're going to introduce these new tools, and even though they may not be complicated, they are still new. So you want to make sure that you have a dedicated training plan for your team members. And that includes not just the initial rollout of whatever tools or processes you may be using, but have follow-up conversations, solicit feedback, understand how it's going, and then don't be afraid to pivot along the way. I think for all of us as leaders, we have an idea of how a program is going to go. But then you actually get it out there in production and you're only 50 to 75% right. So identify what's not going well and iterate on it. And that's how you really create a culture of trust around using AI, because the more familiar the team members become with it, the more comfortable they're going to become. I imagine in many organizations, when we started rolling out multi-channel client experiences like email or text and chat, there was a lot of skepticism because these are new things that we've never seen before. But then when it becomes part of our regular day-to-day, it becomes comfortable. And AI is no different. This is just the next new technology that we need to adapt in our learning environments.
That's so calming. That's such a calming way of explaining that. When you talk about, I just want to follow this. It's this little thing I heard you say. You said we need to have clarity around putting out the training content, right?
And yeah. Communicating
clarity. For those that are sitting at the table with you and they're like, Matthew, do you follow some sort of process when you're getting information out? Is there like a program that you use, a form, the way that you get clear, concise training out to your team?
There are so many different ways to do it and so many methodologies.
Yeah.
For those that are not in the L&D space, the ADDIE methodology is one of the most common. Just to spare our listeners at home, I'll say go look it up, Google it, ADDIE, ADDIE, and learn, very basically how the process works. But I know for me as a leader, I also rely very heavily on common sense. And yeah. I think about my own experiences at the front line. Okay, yeah. So what's the first thing that I want to know? What's happening, right? Communicate with me. Tell me this is what we are doing. This is why we are doing it. The why is particularly important in today's work environment. And then start to roll out the actual training plan itself. Let's communicate what is our timeline and milestones. What are our objectives? And something I know we're doing in our organization right now, one of our managers is leading this effort, is outcome-based learning objectives. So
okay.
Thinking about when we are going to roll out AI, not just how do we want somebody to know how to, the buttonology of the tool, but what are we actually hoping for the outcome to be? One of the things that we rolled out as an organization earlier this year, I think it was, is the automated summarization of notes for case management and Salesforce. Why is this important? Because we want our agents to have more efficient engagement with our clients. We want them to be able to focus on the conversation that they're having and not have to worry about taking notes, which ultimately will result in improved average handle time, hopefully better first call resolution. Those are the business outcomes we want to focus on. So as we go about the process of teaching agents of here's the tool and here's where you point and click, let's also explain we want you to do this because it will allow you to have more efficient calls and answer client questions, at a more in-depth level and things of that nature.
Leadership gold right there. I think it was Steve Jobs that said, if you can actually define the problem, then you've almost got it solved. Right.
Absolutely. So, yep.
And I think that's the same. That's what we try to do in learning and development. We try to get a problem statement. Always when someone wants a new training or something needs to be done, I'll say, give me the problem statement, or I'll hear them out. And I try to get, what is the problem statement? I'll say, write me the problem statement, or I'll try to write the problem statement. Because a lot of times, just heads up to our people at the table and going on with what Matthew was saying, is you start to use AI, and then it gets so exciting. It can do so many things. And before long, you're doing something that had nothing to do with what you were originally trying to solve for. So when he's talking about getting your problem statement, kind of identified, that's almost like the roots to the tree. That needs to hold you, because when you start going out there and looking at all these ways that we can train and resolve for that, we'll kind of lose sight of our foundation. So I think that's critically important. All right, last question.
Hit me with it.
Okay. Can you, Matthew, with our other M&Ms at the table, can you share an example of where AI enhanced, it didn't replace, human leadership in your team's development journey?
Absolutely. I could probably think of many, but there's really, as you asked that question, there's two examples that come to mind, and they're very kind of different examples. So I hope you don't mind. I'm going to share both of those with you.
Perfect.
Last year, maybe the year before, we implemented a quality analytics tool here within my organization. I know you all have your amazing QEVAL tool. That is just one example of that kind of tool out in the marketplace. And what we did is we went from a system where, from quality assurance, we had humans listening to only maybe 4 call interactions per month to provide feedback to our agents, to being able to implement a system that could provide feedback on literally every single interaction. And it can be calls, and it can be emails and text and chat. It can be all of it. And by doing that, what we allowed us to do is not just have what we as leaders were able to see in our agent performance or a QA analyst, but now at scale and every interaction, when it would be impossible to listen to hundreds of hours of calls, be able to provide insights to our team members, be able to not focus on maybe the nuances of one conversation, but the macro level trends, and provide them feedback that allows them to actually become the best versions of themselves. So I think about that, and I think about how those tools can help, and it is mind-blowing, and it is a beautiful thing.
Awesome.
But let's talk about something then even more tactical. And this example actually happened yesterday for me, so it was fresh in mind. We are working on my team right now. We are building out a new quality program for our learning and development team to make sure that we're producing great work. And the team member that is in charge of this initiative came to me and said, hey, I'm struggling to define professionalism. Can you help me with that? I want to make sure that we've got a great definition for our team. And I said, yeah, let me pull up Copilot. And so I quickly, in a minute or less, I typed out a prompt, and it gave me a return of like 5 or 6 key criteria that we should focus on for our team for professionalism. And it was wonderful. But my team member said, hey, that's great, but now how would we apply that to a 5-point scale, you know, if we want to be able to evaluate our team members? I'm like, that's a great question. So I went back into Copilot and I said, with everything that you just gave me, can you give me a 5-point scale with definitions for each one? Melissa, I tell you, this entire exercise of building out professionalism, we were done in under 3 minutes.
Awesome.
That is the way that you can really leverage AI to produce great thoughts, produce great results, and to do it in a way that is so incredibly efficient and low complexity. This was not difficult for me to do. I just had to know this is the tool to use. And so those are ways that I can really see where AI enhances my ability to be a leader, and AI will ultimately enhance the ability of our team members to perform and get the feedback that they need to be successful.
That is phenomenal. That's, you know, but if you're learning and development at this table, it would have taken days, honestly, to go read books and research and look at all those different things and try to accumulate. We were trying to do what AI does in a second. We were just trying to get 10 of the best books, get those read, get those looked at, and then trying to take the best of everything. And it does it there for us. So for those of us that are sitting at the table that are in learning and development, we're smiling like Matthew. We're all just like, you know, what a co-pilot is a minor word. Well, Matthew, thank you for being our co-pilot today.
Absolutely. I am so excited. It has been a pleasure to be here to chat with you, Melissa. And I love the work that you all are doing in these podcasts. And so I encourage everyone to not just watch this one, but go check out your entire library, because there's some rich nuggets in there that we can all learn from.
We have definitely made friends and connections with some amazing people just like you, Matthew. So we need to go out and try the peanut butter M&Ms, and then we need
you
to follow each other. Peanut butter and jelly. Let me just
peanut
add.
Butter and jelly. That's our new homework assignment.
And then I will get your recommendation. You've given me tons of AI and learning and development recommendations, but those that didn't hear this before the podcast, he told me about the graham cracker and the Reese's. They're cookies, right?
They are. They are peanut butter chocolate covered cookies made by Reese's, and they are delicious.
In the next podcast, Matthew and I will be talking about health food and exercise for those of you that want to join us on that podcast. But thank you for sitting with us at the leadership table. Thank you all podcasters. Hope you took great notes, or I hope you use AI technology to summarize these notes with Matthew and Melissa today. Until next time, we'll see you at the eTech leadership table. You guys have a safe and blessed week.